Hello and welcome to our online church service. It's good to be with you on this occasion as we join together online. It may be the one opportunity or time that I ask you to actually keep your cell phones on because, of course, we don't need to be bothered about being interrupted by them. And you do need to possibly have them handy given the weather event that we are about to go into. So you can keep your phones on in this occasion. So, of course, we have made the decision to meet this way because of our concern about keeping all of our congregational members safe. And so this is where we find ourselves. So I'm here to do the notices, and I want to just start by reviewing the week's events leading up to Easter and to thank all those who were involved in whatever way they were. It was a rich time for us all, and we got to experience a Passover meal together down at St. Andrew's, which was just fantastic, a great way to understand a bit more of the richness and history of the Passover meal as it relates to our faith today. Then we were able to join together for a reflective service on Friday night at the church, and that was a really special time as we conducted it as a tenebrae service, going through the story leading up to Jesus' death on the cross. So thank you again for all those who did the readings and brought that time so beautifully. And then, as if that wasn't enough, on Sunday we got up early and celebrated Resurrection Sunday together around a cooked breakfast, which was fantastic. Again, thank you so much to all those who took part there, particularly for those involved in food preparation and cooking. A brilliant job done by all. So, in terms of current notices going forward, looking forward to next Sunday, where because the Steel and Wheels event is on in the town, we will be doing things a little differently. For the men, this involves coming to the church at 8 a.m. for a barbecue breakfast, at which we'll have a guest speaker, Andrew Stroud, and his wife, Karen. They will be coming and sharing with us. Andrew is a superbike racer, as some of you may know, who rode on John Britton's amazing motorbike. After that, and so if you're intending to come to that, there will be a $5 charge just to cover our costs a little bit with the food. It'll be an amazing time. If you could please let us know if you're coming and if you would like to invite someone along, I'm sure they would enjoy hearing the Strouds speaking. They're going to be speaking to us on legacy. Then in the afternoon, we're going to be having a 4:30 church service at which all are welcome, of course. And that is the way in which we're going to be worshiping God next Sunday, 19th of April. I would like now to, in closing, to just give thanks for all that is given online, both in the way of tithes and offerings, but also to pray for everyone's safety, not only for our church congregation, but across this nation overnight and going into tomorrow, before I hand over to Kate to bring the message. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you that there has been plenty of warning for those in New Zealand as to this weather event. And we ask, Lord, that as we have endeavoured to make ourselves safe, Father God, that there will be a protection and covering over lives, Lord, that also property, Lord God, will not suffer extensively at the hands of the winds and the rain. But most of all, Lord, we ask that you preserve life, Heavenly Father. And we ask this in the wonderful name of Jesus. And we also give you thanks, Lord, for what you place in our hands to bless others with our resources. So we, in giving online, Father God, we ask that you'd use what is given in ways that would further your kingdom. Give us the wisdom to know how to use that. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, I'm going to hand over to Kate now, and she's going to bring a message in our series around the Ten Commandments. God bless you.
Well, hello. This is a little bit of deja vu. Gosh, it was probably 6 years ago that we were meeting online like this. And it's just as strange doing it now as it was back then. Welcome this morning and welcome to being online. And we do hope and pray like it's the evening that we're recording this. So we're last night. Now, so we do hope and pray that the night has been a good night for us all and for our country. Yeah, as God has already prayed. Okay, so today we are looking at the fourth commandment, and that is, it reads like this. It's found in Exodus 20, chapter 20, verses 8 to 11. If you want to get your Bibles out, you can do so. And it reads, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female slave, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. It's so interesting to see that in this commandment, God is pretty much saying to the Israelites, I want you to go back and remember the beginning, back to creation, to the way it was meant to be. Now, we know the story. And they most likely did too. In 6 days, God created the world. He designed, he formed, he made the world. The heavenly bodies, the sky, the land, the sea. He created the vegetation, the animals of the sky, the land and the sea. And he formed and breathed life into Adam and Eve. And then after all his work had been done, we read that on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. God had worked for 6 days like no one since, and then he stopped on the seventh day. And on that day, he blessed it and declared it a day of rest, and he made it holy. Now, I imagine on that day, God, Father, Son, and Spirit, sat back, kind of imagine that, and purely took the time to delight in the beauty and the wonder of the good and the very good of creation. Did he rest because he was exhausted? No. Did he rest because he needed to catch his breath before all that was about to take place? No. He was not and is not task-oriented. Yes, he took the time to create, and he took the time to enjoy and celebrate his handiwork. This was and is the way of God. This was the way that he was meaning for it to be for us all. And then the fall. Now we jump forward to the backdrop of these Ten Commandments that we're looking at. And I know we know the story, but to put context to the Sabbath commandment, let's refresh ourselves to what the Israelites had been rescued out of. Now, God's people find themselves living in Egypt. Through Joseph, God had saved them through the time of famine. While Joseph was alive, he protected and cared for the Israelites. But Joseph and his generation have since died, and the people have remained, and they have multiplied and grown in number. Now, a new king had come to power who knows nothing of Joseph, and he was becoming anxious of the Israelites and their growing population. So his way of controlling them was to put slave masters over them to oppress them with forced labor. But the more they were oppressed, the Bible says, the more they multiplied. It also says, so they made their lives bitter. This is the Egyptians made the Israelites' lives bitter with harsh labor in brick and mortar and with all kinds of work in the fields. In all their harsh labor, the Egyptians worked them ruthlessly. And it's from here that God saw and heard the misery of his people, and he's concerned about their suffering. And so he speaks to Moses about the plan. And the plan is that there would be freedom from the yoke of slavery. No longer would they be slaves. They would be rescued to become the people of God in a land of their own. And God did indeed do this with the might of his hand. And with his outstretched arm, he delivered the people from slavery to freedom. And it's to this group of people living in this newfound freedom that the Sabbath commandment is given to. Sometimes freedoms received can be taken too far. So God, in his loving way, created boundaries, not to control, but to protect them and others and to empower them. And this is so true of this commandment. The Sabbath command to rest from work on the seventh day was a real contrast to the ancient world of the Israelites that they had experienced under the Egyptians. And it's the same that is true for us today. Society still believes that hard work and productivity promise ongoing life, and sometimes it devalues times of rest as laziness or irresponsibility. In this command, God is reminding the Israelites that he wove the goodness of regular rest into the fiber of creation right from the beginning. Today, we have the freedom to do what we like with our time. We order our days according to our individual or family needs. This is part of the autonomy that we have over our lives. While we have the freedom, there are times and seasons, though, when we may feel ourselves stretched for time under the tyranny of the urgent. It's in these times that there can be that sense, that pressure, that there is so much to do and so little time to do it in. And so we choose to keep going, to keep pushing through, burning the candle at both ends, doing the things that must be done, regardless of the impact that it has on us or that we then have on others. Most likely, it will not be a boss who is lording it over us. It may well be our own sense of duty and responsibility. In fairness, there will always be more that needs to be done, that could be done, more to be experienced, more to be achieved. Our phones constantly ding away, reminding us that there are people wanting our attention. And so we try to fit everything in to please everyone, taking on more that is natural or necessary. We are often the ones who put ourselves under this kind of duress, creating expectation of others to say, yeah, we can do this. We can put you under this. You know, we can expect things of you. We live in a time of hurry, of rush, of the need of seemingly constant activity. And sometimes we wear our busyness like a badge of honor. Yet even so, there is still this deep need for all of us to rest. Evidence of this is in the ever-increasing desire to find places of retreat, the opportunity to find quiet for one's body, soul, and spirit, to just be able to pause and breathe and rest. And this in itself has become an industry, and people endeavour to arrange their hectic lives, paying a lot of money to do so, when the truth is that God has, right from the beginning of time, shown us the good way, the better way, a way that gives us what we need on every level on a very regular basis. And that is the Sabbath rest. Again, this command isn't to control us. It is to create healthy boundaries for ourselves, for our body, our minds, our emotions, our spirit, our relationships. As one rabbi taught, it was not Israel that kept the Sabbath as much as the Sabbath that kept Israel. Or as Jesus, our rabbi, said, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Mark 2:27. God knew and he knows what we need. Okay, so what might a Sabbath look like? And what might it look like for us to actually take one? Now, practicing Jews, of which we are not, took and take Sabbath from just before sunset Friday night to Saturday night, which is about 25 hours, apparently. And they had very strict rules. There were 39 things that are biblically based that they couldn't do. It is what they would deem as work because of the nature of what work meant for them. And that was things like preparing meals. Anything to do with making and creating food was a no-go. Anything to do with making or creating clothing, they couldn't do. Caring for their homes or their animals, they couldn't do that. Which meant that everything that they needed to have to eat or to do during Sabbath had to be prepared the day before. And there were really strict rules around it. And anything that they were halfway through, anything that they hadn't done before Friday night, sunset, that had to be put on hold until after Sabbath. But during Sabbath, they would have special meals and celebrations together. They would have services. And with no work to do, they truly had the opportunity to rest, to focus on being with God in his word, on being with family and with community. Now, for us today, as we look to the possibility of having a Sabbath, dare I say, of being obedient to the command of Sabbath, we could use the principles of a Sabbath rather than the rules that we find in the Old Testament. And these principles are that it's a time of stopping, a time of rest, a time to remember, to reflect, and a time to be refreshed. While a Sabbath technically is a 24 or 25 hour period, that may well be too much for many of us to consider. Now, Guy and I have endeavoured to try this, but we found that we struggled to keep it. And it was for lots of different reasons, good and not so good. And because of that, it was kind of really weird. At the end of that Sabbath time, we ended up feeling really bad, like, oh, no, we've not done it. Or we felt really guilty. It's like, oh, you know, we felt guilty. And then we'd get cross, or rather I did at least, if either one of us broke it. It's like, how could you break it, Guy, you know? Or I'd be cross at myself. And it was like, hold on a moment, the whole thing about taking a Sabbath is that it's meant to be life-giving rather than making us feel bad about ourselves. However, we've found as time has gone on that what we can do is start our Sabbath on an evening, say 6 o'clock of an evening, and take it through to either 12 or 1 o'clock the following day, which is about 18 or 19 hours. If we can take more, then we do. However, we do experience the reality of the pull and the lure of work, whatever that definition of work might be, and it's just being really honest. We often mark the beginning of Sabbath by lighting a candle. Initially, it was a visual reminder of what we were doing, but it also became and has become a helpful tool for prayer. As whenever, you know, because we don't just stay in one place, we'll move around. And as we see the candle, then it can be used as a prayer. For me, your light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not and will not overcome it. It's just a reminder to me of who he is and the authority that he has. Some days we choose not to have our phones around as much. To create the space for a Sabbath requires making and marking a specific time. And it requires faith and trust in doing so, trusting that whatever is left undone during that time, it will be okay. And I can assure you, all usually is well. Now, we know of individuals who take Sabbath. We know of families with children who do Sabbath. And we know groups of families and individuals who choose to do it together, not in the same house, but at the same time, as a way of encouraging one another. It's So I guess the question here is, what might it look like for you to take a Sabbath? How might it be that you could carve out some kind of time? What kind of time? When could it work for you best of all? Something to ponder and consider. And then, of course, then how do we lean into a Sabbath? Well, the first thing is rest. We know this well. Jesus says to us in Matthew 11, 28 to 30, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." There are times that we feel the weight of our lives and the lives of those around us on our shoulders. And Jesus acknowledges this. And the invitation he extends to us is that he is the one who is able to give us the rest that we need. If rest is what he offers in place of our weariness and burdens, where is it today that you are most weary? Physically, mentally, emotionally, or spiritually, or all of the above? And what might rest look like for you in these areas? Rest, to start with, may well look like doing nothing. Absolutely nothing. Or it even might look like sleeping. And if there are children involved, you've got to make a plan there. But absolutely, sleeping and if sleeping is what is necessary, then it's really important that we listen to our bodies. Rest may look like creating space for your mind to slow down, allowing all those thoughts that are running around in your head to have the chance to settle. And maybe that you need to journal or to jot these things down to get these thoughts and these ideas out of your head. It may be having a conversation or a verbal offload with a trusted person. With God. Prayer. Rest might be letting go of the responsibilities of life for a time, without being careless, of course. And embracing quietness, or personal quietness and stillness, okay? Considering our context and the beauty of creation and the goodness of life that we have in God. Resting will be unique for each of us, and discerning what that looks like is really important. And the challenge also is working out how to take rest, especially in a family context. This command that God gave begins with remember. And our point number two is to remember. So we've had rest and now remember. Jesus speaks about remembering when he shares at the Last Supper with his disciples, "Do this in remembrance of me." And throughout the Bible, there are ways and opportunities for the people of God to revisit and remember together what God had done for them. Regularly, we read of how the great story of them being rescued and redeemed, and then their response to all of that God had done for them has been told and retold. We too have been rescued from the kingdom of darkness and brought into the kingdom of light. And so we can take the opportunity during Sabbath to sit back and to remember the goodness of God in our lives. In doing so, it helps us to remember the times that God has rescued us from ourselves or from others. And it reminds us of how he redeems. It gives us space to remind us of how he has redeemed situations that seemed impossible. We all have stories. We all have situations that have happened in our lives. And it is so good for us to remember. And not only to remember, but to share these times with family members, those who are with us or with friends. And it's a way of encouragement for ourselves, but also to others. And one of the songs that we were going to be singing this morning, if we were going to be meeting together in church, is the song, "The Goodness of God." Again, it's, you know, these words, all my life you have been faithful, all my life you have been so, so good. And it's remembering that we sing those words, but actually to remember what it was, those good things that he's done for us, and to share them with others is so incredibly important. And that's what Sabbath time can do. Sabbath time gives us the space to be able to remember, the space to be able to share. And what it does is bringing to the front of our thoughts and our conversations the goodness and the faithfulness and the kindness of God. And in doing so, it strengthens us and our relationship with God. And our hearts again become full of gratitude and thanks. And we so need to do this. We so need to remind ourselves, especially in the days that we find ourselves and in the days that are yet to come. May we never get too familiar or even blasé about the good things that God has done for us. So we rest and we remember and then we reflect. And I know that I shared this before, but I so love this quote from Trevor Hudson. We don't change from our experiences. We change when we reflect on our experiences. Sabbath is a great opportunity to take time to reflect on the week that has been, to consider what we might learn from the good things that have happened, as well as the not so good things, asking God for discernment and wisdom that can be learnt from what has taken place and that we can then take forward into the days and the week ahead. It also gives space for the Spirit to speak and to move in our lives in those areas that we allow him to. Psalm 139 is a great psalm to read and to pray through if this is what you feel led to do. Sabbath is not just about what we're choosing to stop doing, but it helps us to consider what are the things that we might be needing or desiring to move towards, the things of God that we might be desiring to move towards, and how we might actually go about doing that. Often we're too busy. We think, oh, this is a really good idea. I should do this, you know, that whole should word. But, you know, it would be good if I did this. It would be good if I did that. Taking the time to actually consider, what is it that you would have me do? What is it? What is the good thing that you would have me to do? So it is about reflecting, taking time to reflect. Now, so far, these ideas about, you know, reflecting and remembering can sound quite introspective, which is kind of true and it's kind of necessary. And that is all part of our spiritual journey. But Sabbath is also a time of refreshment and of celebration. So our third point is refreshment. Reading through the Old Testament, God created lots of festivals and times of gathering together in celebration. Today, we might call our times together on a Sunday times of celebration, where we have the freedom to come and to celebrate God with one another and enjoying times of fellowship and sometimes food. And food is always good to share with one another. Sabbath could also be about intentionally gathering with family and friends. I've got a bit of an itchy nose, sorry. Sorry. Okay, so Sabbath can also be about intentionally gathering with family and friends, where together we choose to set our minds and our conversation on higher things, on good things. Sabbath also creates the opportunity for us to be refreshed spiritually, emotionally, physically, and mentally in ways that are unique to each one of us. I've mentioned already about the need to find rest in these areas, but it's also really good for us to be refreshed in them also. It might look like doing the things that help you connect with God, things that bring you joy. For some, it might be gardening. It might be tinkering on a project. It might be reading, listening to podcasts or music, playing games or doing things with family members, spending time with loved ones without the constraints of time. The opportunities are endless. These things might be done with others or they might be done alone. And part of it is learning to know which of those and what it is that brings us joy, creating the space to be able to do them within our own context, and then slowing down enough to enjoy them and experiencing the goodness of God throughout all of it. So it's It's that awareness of God being part of and enjoying God in the things that we enjoy doing. And I truly believe that that brings joy to God, because he's made us to enjoy life. He's made us to enjoy this wonderful world around us. He's made us to enjoy one another. So lean into it. But in taking a Sabbath, one thing to consider is the resistance to it. And that's our last one, is to consider the resistance. And there may well be internal and external resistance. The internal, I know that when we first started taking Sabbath, I really struggled to stop and to find peace. I found that I was anxious. My body was anxious, and my mind just kept going to all the things that needed to be done. Fortunately, I had been forewarned of this, and so I learned, especially in those first couple of times, to make notes of the things that needed to be done, the things that were going through in my mind, and the things that were causing me some anxiety. And knowing that in the anxiety, God could, you know, that was a place for God to really minister to me. But the things that needed to be done, then they could be seen to afterwards, after Sabbath. I also learned that for me, before Sabbath, I had to get some things done so that I wouldn't be distracted by them. This is really silly, I know, but things like the washing, the vacuuming, things that by them not being done would bother me. I mean, I don't know, you'll discover maybe what are those things for you. But it was also, in part of that, it was creating an environment that I wanted to be in, and that Guy wanted to be in, and that we could rest in it. And that was part of that was working beforehand, getting all that kind of stuff done beforehand. And even though it's work, and you know, washing and vacuuming is not my kind of place of joy, don't get me wrong, but it brought me kind of the weird thing, it brought me joy in doing it, knowing that I was going to be entering into Sabbath and that it would bring me peace. I hope that kind of makes sense. So for you, it might be mowing lawns, getting the lawns done, or I don't know, you fill in the gaps there. Okay. And also part of Sabbath for me was choosing to use my phone less. And this was really a really big challenge for me, and it still is. Because what I did is then found out how much I use my phone for unnecessary things. And it was really shocking, and it still is really shocking. And so because we have access to so much on our phones, like I have books on my phone, I have music on my phone, I needed to be really intentional about what I was and wasn't going to do. How I was and wasn't going to use my phone. So again, these are things to consider to help make Sabbath the best for you. These are the things, the challenges for me, just so that you know if you come up against challenges, they're real. Okay, and the other thing was that was really interesting, and was that Guy and I needed to consider each other in our Sabbath and how Sabbath might look for each of us and for us together. Because we're very different. So what's good for one is not necessarily good for the other. However, there are things that we also enjoy doing together. So it's considering, and that is a huge thing. And like you may be on your own, you may have others around you, you might have children. And that whole thing of journeying together as families, it's not going to happen in the first time. It's going to take time, and it's going to take explanation. It's going to be learning together how to Sabbath well together. And you can only but start and keep taking steps along the way, which I really encourage you to do. The other thing was that our first Sabbath, or our first couple of Sabbaths, I did a lot of sleeping. And I felt really bad about that initially. Like I was like, I'm meant to be having this beautiful time with God, and I'm so exhausted that I would just, you know, I'd be praying with my eyes shut and, you know, kind of nod myself awake. And in the end, I just kind of relented and would just go and lie on the bed. And that's okay. Like that is absolutely okay, because if the body needs to rest, It needs to rest. And again, it's an opportunity to learn and to lean into the "why am I so tired" conversation. Yeah, and then the other thing, I mean, it's not really a resistance, but it did kind of cause a little bit of concern, was at the end of the first couple of Sabbaths, I remember thinking, how has this benefited me? and then kind of realizing again that I lean towards productivity, as being good. You know, that's a sign of success. If I can come away and say, this is what I've done, then that's a good thing. Rather than resting with God, not necessarily doing anything, being a really good thing to do. It kind of comes to mind as Mary and Martha. You know, Mary sat at the foot of Jesus. Just being with him was enough for her. Is just resting in God enough? And that unfolds a whole lot of questions as well for us to reflect on, which is good. And then there are the external challenges of taking Sabbath, of carving out a time for Sabbath and being okay and comfortable to saying no to people or to activities, especially things that are work for us, you know. And you can feel bad saying no to others, but you can also feel bad for saying yes to others in your Sabbath. So it's kind of like whatever you do kind of doesn't feel good to start off with. However, we soon learn that it's better for us to say no and to value ourselves and to value our time with God. It doesn't mean to say that we don't value others, but, you know, it's just really important to, we think to value our time with God and the necessity and the need that we have to Sabbath. And just kind of really hoping and trusting that people will learn to respect our Sabbath. And of course we need to kind of share, or maybe we don't, we just need to be able to say no to people and be comfortable without having to justify our why. Taking Sabbath can become, well, it does become a process of trust that we can get the work that needs to be done in 6 days. And if we can't, then why not? Okay, this is really good for us to consider and to reflect upon. Why is it that 6 days is not enough to do what has to be done? As somebody said, I think it was J. John. He says, if creation didn't crash when God rested, it won't crash when we do. You know, we don't have quite as much power as what God does. But yeah, like it's okay to stop. I also read somewhere that it said that after about 50 hours of work a week, that any time that we might have, we're not as productive as we once were. And so things will take longer than necessary. And yeah, again, all these things to consider and to reflect on and spend time with God about how best do I order my time. As time has gone on, and especially now, we really do see the wisdom behind God's command to take a Sabbath. And it's a command that's made in love for us, as really all the commands are. Our hope and prayer is that you too would consider this command, endeavouring to work out when you could take it and for how long that you can take it, bearing in mind the need for rest that we all have and the need for us all to remember and to reflect, as well as the necessity of refreshment for our body, our soul, and our spirit. Acknowledging that there are very real resistances that will rise up that we might experience along the way. So we do hope and pray that you will consider what it might look like for you and to have conversations with others around this. It's a command that we dismiss it. We understand, we look at, you know, it's don't murder, don't commit adultery, But this is the first command that God puts into place after our relationship with him, the commands about how we are to be before him. He puts this command next. It is really important. And it's a conversation that we need to continue to have with one another. Okay, time is up. I think you've done really well for our time together here. But hopefully you've been able to sit back and have relax and have a cup of tea while you have been listening to us. But before we go, let's pray. Let's still ourselves before God together. Oh, Lord, as we consider and as we view once again these commands that you have given or that you gave to the Israelites and that still roll down through the generations and the centuries today, the command to have Sabbath rest. I pray that in the opportunity that we've all been given today to rest, not to rush to come to church, but to be able to stay at home and to rest, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will speak to us, that you'll help us to create the space to consider what this command might look like for us personally and for those within families, what it might look like in a family environment. And for those who might choose to consider Sabbath, how it might be done, it could be done in community with others, maybe sharing a celebration meal together. I don't know. Holy Spirit, you're the creative one. Help us to consider what a Sabbath might look like for each one of us. The gift of Sabbath is the wisdom that was established at the beginning of time. You know what we need. We know what we desire. We know that we need rest. I pray that you'd help us, give us deep revelation and deep understanding on this. I pray. Because through being rested, through those times of remembrance, through those times of reflecting, through those times of refreshment, then we can flourish and we can continue to grow and be the son or daughter of God that you have created us to be, and that together that we might be the people of God that you have created us to be, and that we would be a witness to those around us, that in a busy and hurried world, we find peace, we find rest for ourselves, not just for our bodies, but for our souls, for our mind, for our spirit. Help us and lead us and guide us, we pray, for our good and for your glory. Amen. Amen. Okay. And as we go, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.